work sessions are just, oh, I'm sorry, I should have asked you. I'm not going to start over. This is a work session to receive comments and questions from the public, and specifically PUD customers of the local utility district in Carlsberg and the Carlsberg UGA. A couple of weeks ago, a memorandum of understanding between the PUD and the county was presented to the commission, and an MOU or memo of understanding is non-binding. It essentially outlines the interest of the county and the PUD customers in providing water for the Carlsberg UGA. Staff will present the history of the Carlsberg water system, and we'll open it up to questions and comments. Then we'll move on to talk about the memo of understanding and what's in it. By the way, there's copies on the table out there. Did anybody get one? Well, they're there.
By the door.
They're going forward, yeah. So, after the history and discussing the MOU, the commission felt that before considering the memo of understanding, we needed more input from the public and specifically affected customers. Although an MOU is non-binding, it is a preliminary step towards future agreements, which may be binding. And as that evolves, if it does, we will have future public workshops to get additional public input. So please listen to the presentation. I would encourage you to ask questions, make comments so that your interests and concerns are addressed. I will ask for public comment after the history presentation and then provide 3 minutes per individual just so everybody can speak. So with that, I'll introduce Travis. Are you doing this?
Yes, sir. That's me.
Okay. Travis McLean, PUD Water Department. He's going to educate us on the history of the Carlsberg water system.
Hey everybody, hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm mic'd on myself, so if I'm too loud, then you know I can kind of back it off a little bit. I'm Travis. I'm the Water and Wastewater Systems Coordinator for the PUD. Also here is Tom Martin, who's the Water and Wastewater Systems Manager, and Bowen Kendrick, who is the Superintendent. We've got kind of a three-part presentation. We're going to start with kind of the history of the system and the system boundary and the water right as it was first obtained, and then we'll kind of break for some questions if anybody has any, and then move into some more topical type subjects. Get me up here. There we go. Talk about water quality and status of our new water right mitigation, and then open it up to some more questions and comments if the commissioners are agreeable. And then lastly, get on to the memo of understanding between the county and the PUD. Eric, can you give me a click in the middle of the screen so my clicker takes over? Thank you much. So the original LUD 10 boundary is what started the Carlsberg water system. The Carlsberg system was formed as a local utility district, or LUD. How that process works is landowners petition the district to form a water system. We basically do a feasibility study to make sure we can do it. And then the landowners turn around and pay for that system construction through property assessments. That's how a lot of systems here at the PUD were formed. This one was no exception. It was formed via a resolution following a property owner petition in 1989. It was the 10th LUD added to the PUD, which is why it was called LUD 10. This is the original system boundary. Now, keep in mind, in 1989, the properties were not nearly as dense or developed as they are now, so most of this was actually farmland. Actually, in the early PUD formation discussions, there were kind of five main landowners that were identified as owning most of the participating land, because a lot of these parcels were, you know, 30 to 40 acres. And you can see it kind of includes some of Business Park Loop, which the Port owned, some properties south of the highway, as well as a chunk kind of north of the highway between 101 and now Business Park Loop. So in order to serve water, of course, we had to get a water right back at that time. So after the resolution establishing the LDD in 1989, we submitted a water right application in 1990. I think it's good to note that in both the original resolution forming the LUD and in our water rights application, we noted that there is likely going to be expansion in the next few years. There was no water system present, at that time. And so the water right that the PUD acquired was more reflective of its total system capacity and less reflective of how many properties were participating in the beginning of the LUD. The original water right application was approved in 92 for 393 acre feet. We kind of planned for expansion back then, and it did expand pretty immediately. LUDs 12, 13, and 14 formed between 91 and 92. Those are kind of add-on LUDs. They used LUD 10 source of supply, storage, and distribution system. These were sort of main extensions where we extended the main from the existing distribution system. They paid for those improvements the same way the original participants did. The properties were assessed. The PUD financed the construction of those mains. Interesting to note, these LUDs were actually formed before the PUD had its approved water right. So we actually were already approving additional LUDs before we had the water right. That's how different the climate was back then. It was a little easier for us to go to ecology and get a water right reflective of what we thought we were going to need. In 1996, we acquired the Swim Valley Tracts water system, which is a neighboring water system that had about 45 hookups. They had a couple of wells and some distribution. We took over those wells as well. They are not connected to our distribution system. We don't utilize them now. They do still exist over on Smithfield Drive, but they are not currently in use by the PUD. And then there was also a lot of individual parcel expansions over the years where individual parcels requested to be added. Some of those were added when we still had lots of capacity. Some were added later where we required that property owners bring water rights with them in order to be added. So here's the original boundary again. And then we've got kind of an expansion to the south with LUD 12, LUD 13, and LUD 14. So those were kind of all main extensions that were added on near the southern boundary. The Swim Valley Tracts water system was kind of neighboring to the east. And again, they already had 45 metered hookups. Since then, of course, we've added additional connections in that portion. And then there were a lot of kind of individual parcel expansions. These are not necessarily in the order we added them. Some of those were multiple parcels at a time, but we kind of expanded out incrementally over time since 1989 when the system first formed. So this is kind of what makes up our current retail service area. You'll probably hear me referring to it as the retail service area from now on. We're going to try to avoid using the term LUD because it is a little misleading. Our current water system is a lot more than just the original LUD formations. We've kind of added on a lot since then. So we're going to kind of replace that notion of the LUD with the retail service area. This is the area where we're currently providing water service if somebody requests. We have kind of a duty to serve in that area. So the retail service area is made up of the original LUDs, any acquisitions, any partial expansions. That's our current place of service, basically. We kind of fast forward in time to the formation of the UGA in 2000. Obviously, that allowed for much more dense zoning than was previously allowed. When the UGA was established, some of it was in our retail service area, some of it was not. So that boundary line is not matching up with our existing service area. Around that same time, the district started to do some capacity analysis and determined that they no longer had excess capacity to start expanding outside of the retail service area due to the fact that there was quite a bit more dense zoning. Some of that UGA landed in the service area that already existed, and therefore we had to kind of start reevaluating our ability to serve those areas that were already in our service area.
I assume that the I think I heard you say that not every parcel where every person's being served there is in our service area. Therefore, they must have their own well.
Correct. So not that if we go to the big map, we don't necessarily serve every single person in the retail service area. There's some folks that sell private wells in that area. There's some folks that may have real small little kind of group B water systems that serve a couple of houses. But for the most part, if somebody in that service boundary requested water from us and, you know, built the appropriate water main extension, we would provide service. That's our duty to serve area. So here's the UGA boundary. When it gets formed, you can see there's a couple chunks that are outside of our service area. We'll kind of make them red here. So we're serving all the yellow. The Carlsberg UGA in total is outlined in red. So you can see we do have a lot of customers we do serve that are not inside the UGA. We have a lot of customers that we serve that are in the UGA, and then we have kind of chunks that are within the UGA but not in our retail service area.
So, Travis.
Yes.
This expansion to the retail service area from LUD 10, you use the water from LUD 10 and the storage?
Yeah, so all the previous expansions, so LUD 10 formed, and when LUD 12, 13, 14 were formed, those all used that original water right. The individual parcels that were added, depending on when they were added, some of those parcels brought water with them. If it was after 2000, before 2000, they were not bringing water with them, and we were using our existing water right, yes. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So if we move ahead a couple more years, in 2005, there's the WIRA 18 watershed plan is adopted by the county commissioners. This plan sort of put the focus for the future on supplying new use with existing public water supplies, or just with public water supplies in general, and trying to kind of reduce the number of new groundwater withdrawals that would occur. This is kind of a precursor to the Dungeness Water Rule. In that document, there were some kind of desired outcomes after discussing with, you know, stakeholders. One of the water quantity outcomes was that water rights would be sufficient for public water systems to meet future growth within their service areas and even their projected service areas. And it kind of pushed for strategies that would assure that public water service would be available, you know, in the timeframes that it's needed. So this planning document, like I said, came out in 2005. Following this, in 2006, the PUD turned around and applied for a new water right with Ecology. Since the focus is going to be in the area in general to serve new growth through existing water systems, the PUD applied for 215 acre feet in order to expand out its system boundary. This has later been revised to 261 acre feet. But that was back in 2006 when we made that initial new application for new water rights. As we keep moving forward, in 2012, the Dungeness Water Rule is adopted. This requires new groundwater withdrawals to be mitigated ahead of time. So if there's a groundwater withdrawal that's going to have impact on streams, mitigation has to be acquired to offset your impact to those stream flows before you can go forward with your new withdrawals. So that was kind of a big, you know, change in the area. This also meant that the PUD was going to need some form of mitigation in order to go forward with its water right in 2006. In 2013, we're going to fast forward, well, not very far, but a little bit. The PUD originally had funding for a sewer project in Carlsberg. In 2013, the PUD transferred its funding for that sewer project over to Collin County, and Collin County eventually completed construction of that sewer system. The PUD's original plan included utilizing reclaimed water for mitigation needs. And so when we kind of transferred that project over to the county, we entered into an agreement that the county was going to need to obtain water rights for expansion to the UGA if that reclaimed water wasn't going to be available for mitigation. So this agreement, which, you know, we're still intending to uphold now, basically says that if we're going to expand into the entirety of the UGA, the county is responsible for acquiring those water rights for us to do that.
And it, the expectation is that to expand, that we would need additional water rights?
The expectation is
a lot of them are, is, I believe.
So the PUD's interpretation, or basically the PUD's planning up to that point and up to now, has been that before we expand the area, we basically need water rights for the full build-out of that area at its maximum density. And so before we will expand out, we want to have water rights in our pocket for whatever the densest configuration of that area is. And so we're kind of basing that on, you know, how many residences or units can be per acre, you know, depending on what the zoning is for a particular chunk of property. So, And well, actually, that kind of leads into our next slide. So in 2017, the PUD took a step to sort of solidify its policy. The Board of Commissioners passed a resolution stating that the district's policy is not to enlarge a retail service area unless it has sufficient water rights to serve that expansion area. And we actually explicitly mentioned the Carlsberg UGA in that resolution that we're going to not expand into that area, and we're going to keep existing water rights for the current retail service area until we have new rights.
We have water rights, the full build out of the LUD, as well, expanded LUD.
We have,
and we're not using all those water rights at this point. We might use them over the next 20 years or so.
Yeah, we have close to enough water rights for the full retail service area. I think at its maximum density, I think there is still a slight deficiency for our own retail service area at maximum build-out of about 13 acre-feet or so. Tom might be able to fact-check me on that, but I think we have a slight deficiency even in our retail service area if it goes to its maximum density.
The reason I think this is important is that ecology is important enough to bring up in their rebuttal. Didn't they say something about that we're only using 20% of our current water rights, and I wasn't sure how to interpret that, whether their expectation is that we have to be like at 80% before we ask for more or some threshold, or, you know, whether our rebuttal that, we want to be prudent stewards of water rights, and that before we commit ourselves, we want to make sure we've got enough. How are y'all interpreting the pushback from ecology by bringing that up?
Well, I think that's kind of a fuzzy area. It's not like ecology comes in and says we want you to hit this number, right? But we are going to actually bring that up in more of in the next section of sort of where we're at now and what our current utilization is and what the status is of our current mitigation. So I don't know that I'll completely answer your question, but we're going to get to that topic here in a little bit. So
you can't speak for ecology? Is that what you're saying?
I can't, unfortunately. It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Okay.
So that kind of brings us up to pretty much now before we get into some recent history topics. So that's kind of how the system evolved to its current state. So I don't know if anybody has any questions or comments related to that. Hopefully that was somewhat kind of easy to digest, but
okay, well, Jared, go ahead. Can we see him or be on screen? Or can we hear him?
Go ahead, Jared. You should be live. Oh, maybe not.
Maybe not. Jared's muted.
Yeah, ask him to unmute.
Oh, you're muted. That's a typical virtual meeting comment. You're muted.
I think I hit the button inadvertently there, so I don't have a comment at this point. Thank you. I'll mute myself back up.
Okay.
Any questions, those present here? This is just history, but kind of lays the foundation for what's going to come next.
You didn't know where you've been.
You've got to know where you're going. You've got to know where you've been. That's true.
Well, it's good there's not too many questions on the history part because I wasn't here either in 1989. So.
Okay, we'll move on to the next section then. By the way, if you have future questions, you can submit those by email or whatever and respond to them.
Okay, so if we move into some more current events or more recent past type events, the first one we're going to talk about is water quality. Our existing Carlsberg well does have rising nitrate levels. This May of 2022, we had a sample result of 7.54 milligrams per liter. The maximum contaminant level for nitrates per the EPA is 10 milligrams per liter. With all the studies they've done on health effects, up to 10 milligrams per liter, they don't have documented health effects of nitrates in drinking water, but once you get to elevated levels of 10, 15, 20, 30, then you start to see health effects. So when you get to 10, you can no longer serve that water, basically.
They attributed this to septic systems and some agricultural activity.
Yes.
And that was the main driver, or one of the drivers for the sewer system. So.
Mm-hmm. And so if you look at our trending for nitrates in the water as we tested it, starting back in about 2008, there's kind of an upward trend each year with higher nitrates being measured. It kind of has tapered off a little bit. If you look at the sort of the green section that has sort of little X's on it, we're now trending towards possibly getting near 10 closer to May of 2029. So originally, from 2008 to 2010, 2012, it was a little bit of a steeper trend, which has kind of leveled off a little bit. But 2029 is not that far into the future either. So that's kind of a major topic of concern and something we want to continue to work towards around the water rights issues and make sure we're addressing both. If we kind of shift towards obtaining new water rights, since the county is required to get new water rights for the PUD, they've been making progress towards that. In 2017, they hired a consultant, Robinson Noble, to help develop our mitigation plan. There was a test well that was drilled in 2019 that has been tested. That kind of occurred between the end of 2019 and the beginning of 2020. The county has also been participating kind of in meetings and engagement between ecology and other local stakeholders, such as the tribe and Dungeness River Management Team. So the county's consultant, Robinson Noble, has put together a mitigation plan for us. It involves shifting production from the second aquifer to the fourth aquifer. So basically, we're going deeper. The advantage to that is as you go deeper, you have less impacts to streams. So what we're proposing, or what Robinson Noble is proposing with their mitigation plan, that if we move a good portion of our existing production from the second aquifer to the fourth aquifer, we're going to have significantly less impacts on stream flows. And we therefore want to sort of utilize that mitigation or that credit for less stream flow impact for our new water rights.
And in theory, shouldn't that help if the nitrate problem is, in fact, tied to sewages? Further deeper you go, the further away from that problem you
become. That is correct. So moving to the fourth aquifer also sort of solves our water quality issues. Withdrawals from an aquifer at that, I think this well has a full depth of 917 feet. And again, my fact check crew, make sure I'm not lying. At that water depth, we don't have nitrate issues at this point, so it would improve the product or the water that we're able to deliver to customers if we utilize that source. That mitigation plan has been into ecology. There are other kind of local stakeholders that are commenting on that mitigation plan. I think Bowen gave an update at the last commission meeting on comments the Jamestown Tribe had. And so that's kind of the status of our current water rights and mitigation process, as we've got a mitigation plan in order to obtain the water rights, and we kind of have it in front of ecology for their review and consideration. Now that we're kind of at that point, what the county is requesting is that we utilize some of our existing water rights to serve areas outside of our retail service area, county specifically mentioning the UGA. I think the county commissioners at the joint meeting that we had recently mentioned they have up to 200 connections that are waiting in that area that's sort of identified as being outside of retail service areas but inside the UGA. So our existing water rights, like you brought up earlier, Rick, we're using about 23% of our existing water right. That's kind of the biggest number we've hit in recent years. The county is acquiring or attempting to acquire 261 acre feet of water for the PUD. That's around 1,300 ERUs or 1,300 kind of residential connection units. So that's sort of where we're at and sort of what the county is trying to get for us. As you brought up, there have been a lot of comments related to how much of our existing water right we're using now by other entities, so that is something that, you know, we need to consider. Where are we at with our current use, and where do we project to be, you know, over the next 10, 20, 30 years? So again, those areas that are not served but are within the UGA are those areas in red. We not only have, you know, interest in folks who are within those red areas that want service, but I mean, I can tell you offhand, maybe not an exact number, but we've had a considerable amount of interest for water service for other folks who are not necessarily in the UGA, but just outside our service area. There's a tremendous sort of need for water in the area, especially as you kind of get to the south and some of the wells in that area are starting to underperform. Or maybe folks were unsuccessful in drilling a well and have property that they can't develop due to a lack of water.
So the area around the airport, there's requested service. Where would that be located on this map?
Well, the airport is right here.
Yeah.
So, yes, the airport being one, we've received requests from nearby developments near our retail service area, kind of on the outskirts. There's a couple near the eastern boundary of the retail service area. There's a lot of individual parcels that have requested service kind of in the southern area of our service area where there seems to be sort of a difficulty to drill new wells or to find water with new wells. So we have a couple of folks down there who have been unsuccessful with well drilling on their property and are outside our service area as well. So we do have a considerable amount of interest in folks who are looking for water both inside the UGA and outside the UGA that we are not serving now.
But if people want to drill a well, they have to mitigate under the Dungeness Water Rules.
Correct.
And that's, I know there's a water bank, they have to buy mitigation. That was very expensive at one time. Do we know what the cost would be now?
I think the cost for indoor use only on a non-sewer connection is maybe $4,000. Does that sound right, Tom, if it's a,
yeah,
a
it's
system?
$4,000.
One time.
But that also has a limit to how much you can withdraw on an annual basis. When you have one of those new wells and you purchase mitigation, your water consumption is kind of limited to a certain volume of water each year.
So these other areas outside the UGA that are looking for service, what's the county's position on those?
Yeah.
Do we know?
That's a great question. Well, I think it's kind of itemized in the memorandum of understanding we're going to talk about too. So there's a couple of map exhibits attached to that memo, and I apologize, I'm not sure if they were in the digital copy I sent you, but we do have copies of them out here. The PUD and the county have sort of identified in that memorandum, you know, a desire to serve the UGA, but we've also identified sort of a broader Carlsberg region that at some point in the future it would be beneficial to address water service to. And kind of how we came up with, oh, go ahead.
But the commitment from the county is only to assist in getting water rights for the UGA.
Yes, the county is on the hook for water rights for the UGA specifically.
Only,
yes.
Yeah, not the
area. Other areas that are looking for service, we don't necessarily have an agreement with somebody else to get them on our behalf, but there are quite a few areas that are not served and don't have access to water. So. And we can talk about that here in a minute, too, actually.
We've been trying to get additional water rights for some time. What's the status? I know it's been a lengthy process, but
as I said earlier, there's a mitigation plan that's been submitted to Ecology. So our ability to get water rights is sort of dependent on Ecology approving that mitigation plan as our route to acquire those water rights. So that's kind of where we're at. We're waiting for approval of a mitigation plan. So if we kind of look at, you know, if we did expand, you know, use of our water rights to areas outside the existing service area, kind of some of the pros and cons of pursuing that. Obviously, as you just brought up, one of the cons is there is not a guarantee that we're going to get future water rights. You know, if we use up our spare water rights, for lack of a better word, there could be delays for existing property owners in the future when they look to develop their property if those water rights aren't there. So obviously we have an interest in protecting our existing service area. You know, if we start bringing new sources online and don't have mitigation completely hammered out, we're not earning mitigation credit. So we want to make sure before we bring any new source online, we have some sort of mitigation that we're going to get for shifting some of that production.
Well, at one time, the first interlocal agreement with the county, they were talking about purchasing water. If they couldn't get the water right, they were going to purchase water from the water bank or whatever.
We're purchasing mitigation.
So is that still in place?
Well, the water bank still exists. I mean, purchasing mitigation still takes place. So I don't think right now that's a route that the county is necessarily looking to pursue, but it's not something that's not you know, infeasible, but the volume that we're looking for, you know, the water bank has to have that amount of available mitigations as well to even sell. You know, we're looking for large quantity of water. So another con is it does directly conflict with that resolution that we passed, saying that we wouldn't expand our retail service area until we got those water rights. And then it's also a little bit of a departure from our traditional kind of planning strategy, which has been we're not going outwards until we have all the water rights necessary to serve that area. So that's kind of the stance the PD has taken, obviously, in the past and up till now. If we kind of flip that and look at, you know, what advantages there would be, using more of our existing water rights can actually help with getting our mitigation plan and water rights approved. There's a lot of comments we've gotten about our existing water rights use and that we're not utilizing more than 25% of them at this point in time. So a lot of those comments are taken into consideration by ecology. So using more of our water right sort of helps demonstrate our need for additional water rights. Ecology does have an interest in reducing the proliferation of more exempt wells and more small water systems. So that's something ecology actively wants. So if we start sort of expanding our area and helping prevent some of those small water systems from needing to be formed or some of those exempt wells on individual properties from needing to be drilled, that's something ecology is interested in. So that kind of, again, sort of helps grease the wheels a little bit for our mitigation plan being approved. Obviously, it kind of promotes economic growth in the region and may lead to more affordable housing. There are a lot of properties that can't be developed right now. And so, you know, if we have water available to them, some of those projects can start. It also has the potential to get our new source online sooner. So our new source, our new well, as you guys know, is kind of off Old Olympic, north of the existing service boundary. Part of our purchase and sale agreement for that lot that well is on is that we are going to at some point be able to provide water service to that development. In our purchase and sale agreement, we referenced that the water right that developer had applied for should be approved and our water right should be approved, and then we can complete the sale of that property. Well, if we are able to serve lots and developments such as that, we may be able to sort of revise our purchase and sale agreement, extend water service, and be able to complete the purchase of that lot and actually have a new source of supply on sooner, which would help address our water quality issues. Also, there's been obviously a lot of community engagement in water recently. The Swim Valley Airport has been requesting water. There's other developments that are requesting water. So some of those locations are, you know, contributing to the overall, you know, public safety of the area and things. We might be able to increase fire flow availability to other areas, which has a benefit probably to everybody. And then also more customers does capital and operations revenue. I mean, we have a lot of projects that we have to fund. We have to build, you know, a well and a pump station, and we have to be able to construct water mains to reach it. As we bring on more customers, that's obviously more operation revenue and more capital revenue that we can use to kind of get those projects built. So one of the things that we kind of have been talking about is, you know, the PUD's general policy has been to make sure we have enough water rights for a full build-out whenever that may occur in any number of years. It doesn't necessarily align with some of the other kind of planning type documents, though, like the Growth Management Act references a 20-year planning period quite often. When we do our water system plan, the Department of Health requires us to do a 20-year outlook for how many connections we think we'll have, whether we'll have capacity, that sort of thing. We do, in our water system plan, for Carlsberg reference, a full build-out very frequently, but the requirement from the Department of Health is that we do show a 20-year kind of planning window. So the PUD's policy, like I said, has always been to kind of plan for the worst-case scenario and the absolute most connections we'll ever have in an area. A lot of other agencies are kind of looking more at a 20-year type planning window. So we don't quite align there. So that kind of brings us up to current events related to water quality and sort of water rights. So we can kind of pause there if you guys have any questions or if you guys have public questions.
There's a question.
If you have a question, you might, if you want to talk into the microphone so folks at home can hear too. I know we've got a lot of folks coming remotely.
Yes, there's a question on the.
Could you give your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Suzanne Horn, and I live in the district and have water through the system. On the front page of the document that you have there, it says that the district's primary existing Carlsberg production well, LUD number 10 well, is going to reach maximum contaminant levels in the next 4 to 6 years. So is that well going to be, which one is that?
That's the existing well we're using now.
Which is where?
Which is in the second aquifer, and it's over on Business Park Loop, kind of in the...
Right, okay, in the industrial park area.
Mm-hmm.
So that well is going to be, the water's not going to be usable in 4 to 6 years?
Well, it's a possibility. I mean, we don't know, so that's sort of why we're planning for a new water source. There's a few different options. You know, one of the options that's being pursued is that we bring the new source online and blend water from the two sources to have less nitrates. You know, it's feasible in theory to drill a deeper well in the same spot or deepen that existing well. That's sort of partially why we're here now, is that in 4 to 6 years, it's possible that that water may reach that maximum contaminant level. So we've been pursuing a new source or new options for a while now.
Are you aware that they're in the process of looking at putting a dump there within about 2 blocks of that well?
I've heard of that development. I don't know the status of it. You know,
I don't think it would do much to improve the quality of the water.
Well, and you know, our well does have sort of a zone of sanitary area where it has to be clear, but obviously nitrates do travel over large distances, and that's part of the problem. Sometimes some of those pollutants, you know, it's not necessarily instantaneous. It takes a while for stuff to get down to the level of withdrawal into the water table. But yeah, I can't speak to the status of that project. The PUD can't necessarily, you know, prevent a project such as that. You know, we would have an interest in making sure it's done in an environmentally responsible manner, but it's not necessarily, you know, we're not zoning or the county that would approve or
sure.
not approve that type of an establishment.
There would probably be public hearings about that. So you might want to input those public hearings.
Yeah, our proposal right now, as we're looking at, is to completely relocate the source of supply to that new well up off of Old Olympic. Which is
so it would not be the one down there.
That's what we're proposing, is that we'll
okay.
have a new source online.
That's what I was wondering, because it seems kind of silly if we've got a well contaminating, well, let's build a dump right on top of it.
In general, we want to be much deeper and withdraw water from a much deeper aquifer. So
thank you.
Joe, any questions? Okay, well, go ahead.
So one of those questions is, moving to the fourth aquifer, will the second continue to be impacted? And I assume maybe that is related to, will withdrawals from that aquifer impact maybe water quality or quantity in the second aquifer? Is that maybe what that question is related to? I don't know if Tom or Bowen, if you want to comment on that from the mitigation plan or...
Well, I'd like to know what impacted
means.
Just pumping or impacted by water quality contaminants?
If we did use the other well, there's the potential that we could continue to use the well with the high nitrate, but we would blend the water so that the nitrate level would be diluted,
mm-hmm.
Is my understanding.
Yeah, that's correct.
But and I think that may be what they meant, was impacting the pumping.
So we would be reducing our amount of pumping out of that second aquifer aquifer. So in theory, any impacts to streams or to, you know, water in that second aquifer are going to be diminished because we're going to be taking water from a much lower level. So if we withdraw less from that second aquifer, you know, we may still, you know, have impacts on other aquifers if there's, you know, some water transfer between them. But we're not going to be impacting the second aquifer as much as we are if we're not there. So
given that the nitrates are increasing, is blending the, is that a long-term solution or?
So the long-term solution over time is to probably switch all of our production to the fourth aquifer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the ultimate long-term solution. So I see a question. If we understand correctly, the Smithfield pump and well is not in use. Is part of the plan to bring that up for more capacity. That is correct. It is not in use. I think those two wells are of different depths. I think one's about the same depth of our existing Carlsberg well, and one might be a little bit deeper. I do think we've taken some steps in the last couple of years to do some water testing on those wells, and we are looking at the feasibility of bringing those online. They are not in the fourth aquifer, so our preferred strategy is obviously to use the deeper well, but we are taking a look at the Smithfield well as well. Yes.
So these hands up, are they chats or are they
won't? No, they're chats.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you.
So for the people here, I would appreciate hearing your input. Do you think that our policy of making sure we've got enough water rights to serve a high density forecast for a particular area is the right way to approach it, or do you think that we should be more lenient with how we use the water rights that we do have?
You know, I just add to that that getting water rights is not a given. It's a long, drawn-out process.
And it's getting more difficult.
It's getting more difficult, that's right. And so this strategy of saying, well, you're sitting on a water right full build-out, why don't you just use that throughout the UGA and the county's committee to get us additional water rights, which is not a given in a short time frame. So it's, I hate to use this, but it's kind of like, I'll pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. So anyway.
Sorry about Wimpy.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but anyway. So any concerns there? If you're in the LUD and you're concerned about build-out going forward.
Gentlemen, I'm not sure if you can hear me. This is Lisa Donaldson.
We can hear you. Go ahead. I
hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Thank you for having this meeting. My family owns property in, when I look at the map, it's within the Carlsberg UGA, but not in the current service area. We were one of the red properties that had the lines through it. And we have been appearing, not recently, but over many years at these meetings, supporting expansion of the water system throughout the entire urban growth area. We are holding the property, but we're not developers, and I'm thinking that DOE doesn't realize that we have just been waiting. We haven't applied for water rights because we have understood during this period of time that they weren't available. So we haven't put in a formal application, but our property has the ability at some point in the future to have over 300 homes on it, and we have just been waiting to be able to say, yes, we were going to be able to develop that property, but at this time, we've just been quiet, and I guess there, but I want to express that there is a demand here. It's within the UGA, and I have some concerns about providing water outside the UGA when we've been waiting so long to get the expansion within the UGA. And that's my comment at this time.
Thank you.
Well, I wonder if at the very least we should start a list or allow people to sign up if they're interested or think they're interested in getting water, because it feels like that there are folks out there that, like the lady that was just on, who want water, but they didn't think there was really a way to raise their hand to show that they want water. Because I think if the county and the ecology appreciates documented requests, that certainly would bolster our case, or at least it wouldn't hurt it. And I am afraid of people that either got wrong information or don't think that there's the potential to ever get water, and then they're sitting on their hands and, you know, they jump up and say, well, I've been waiting for 20 years. It's like, well, you know, how are we supposed to know that you want water if you haven't let us know? And their feedback is, well, there's no list. Well, maybe we need to start a list. Just at least that's my thought on it.
Well, we're talking about specifically here the county's request that we expand the LDD water to serve throughout the UGA. But we're hearing already that it's not going to end there. There's other properties out there that need water for development. There's other properties that well outside the UGA. So I think we have to stress to the county and Department of Ecology that this is an ongoing thing. We're going to need more and more water to serve this area.
And I guess I wonder why the county agreed to make this request for this one group and not others. I mean, is there...
It was related to the sewer system and mitigation that we're going to acquire from sewer. So the county is going to provide sewer service to the entirety of the UGA. And so they're looking to make sure that water service is available to the entirety of the UGA per, you know, the requirements of the Growth Expansion Act, that sort of thing. So they have an interest specifically in ensuring that there's adequate water there. I don't think the county is opposed, obviously, to us providing more water to county residents. I'm sure that's in everybody's best interest. But specifically, you know, we were able to come to an agreement in that interlocal agreement to ensure that they were able to get the water rights for that particular zone.
I think if I remember the history correctly, the root cause of this was the county formed the UGA. Then there was a group came along and was opposed to that because there were no services being offered. If you're going to have a UGA, you have to provide services, water, sewage, and so on. So that's kind of the genesis of that.
I believe Lisa Donaldson speaking again from the history level. Yeah, we were in meetings in 1990 when the UGA was formed, and I believe the PUD was identified as the potential water purveyor to provide urban services of water supply within the UGA, and that's what we've been waiting for all this time. And I believe the agreement is that to provide urban services within the urban growth area, so that growth doesn't sprawl outside of an urban area. And that was the concept originally here.
Well, the limiting factor here is getting water rights. So that's what we're up against. So.
Yeah, I think we have a few more questions. We have somebody who's got their hand raised remotely, and we've got a couple of written questions. So I don't know what order we want to do these in. So if you want to unmute Dayhawk, we can take his. Dayhawk, can you hear me?
Hi. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. I posed this question to the PUD several times, including to Travis, and I think this is a question that may involve a few people. As someone else mentioned earlier, There are actually two projects being considered inside the Carlsberg UGA. The first project is the solid waste transfer station at Business Park Loop and Carlsberg Road. And there is a second project being considered. It's another transfer station at just north of the Olympic Discovery Trail. So, which this may not be fully public information yet, but both projects are, as I understand it, moving forward, or at least they're trying to. I posed this question to PUD, whether Waste Connections, Inc., has asked the PUD for water availability letter, and whether PUD has given them an answer for either project. I came away with the information today from the county that the engineering team hired by Waste Connections has asked PUD for water availability, and they have not received an answer yet. I'm posing this question because in the presentation, you mentioned that the if existing water rights are depleted, then none of us get bonus points. And you would like to promote regional economic growth. And as Ms. Donaldson mentioned, that she's unable to develop her property because she's not being served. And then another point that I noticed that, okay, so fire flow availability would be impacted by massive industrial uses of the existing aquifer. So how is PUD approaching these industrial projects along Carlsberg Road, and is water available for either project? Thank you.
Sure. The first project you mentioned that would be on kind of the north end of Business Park Loop, that sounds like it would be within our retail service area. In our retail service area, we have a duty to serve properties that are within that boundary. So if they're in that area, which that one would be, we would, yes, provide water service to them. I believe, and you know, I'll have to confirm, but I believe we did get a request from them for fire flow availability. I don't know that I've necessarily have a request for potable water availability from them, but I can certainly look into that if you wanted to submit a records request. I think you may have submitted a records request previously, and we may have provided some documents related to water service that we did provide. Sorry, that was kind of a rambling answer, but basically if they're inside the retail service area, we do have a duty to provide water service to them if they request it, and we have, you know, the ability to. In terms of fire flow, you know, our distribution system is sized to provide fire flow. Fire flow is dependent both on how much water we can move out of the main, but also how much water we have in storage. And so, you know, different size projects could possibly require additional storage that we don't have. And if somebody asks us, you know, whether we're able to provide fire flow for a project that exceeds our fire flow storage, we would have to say not without, you know, additional construction, which we would, you know, possibly put on the developer. So to kind of reiterate, if they're inside the retail service area boundary, then yes, we have a duty to provide water service. We could provide fire flow if we have sufficient system capacity to do so.
So if they are obviously both projects, both transfer station projects are inside your retail service area, and did you, in PUD's planning, did you contemplate heavy industrial use? I believe they're planning to construct a 6,000-gallon underground storage tank for all the contaminants that will come off their tipping floor. And so did PUD consider the industrial uses in calculating the amount of water available to Carlsberg UGA?
Yes and no. I mean, we obviously plan for a mix of, you know, commercial, industrial, and residential use. But typically when we, you know, do analysis for how many equivalent residential units could be in an area, you know, if you put up a, you know, an apartment building or a high-rise, very dense type of building, a lot of times the most dense kind of version of property use for residential is in a lot of ways a bigger number than a lot of commercial and industrial uses. But we do have obviously large, you know, commercial customers in the water system, such as Olympic Springs. You know, got car wash in the water system, two car washes in the water system. So, yeah, we have industrial and commercial uses, and we obviously plan to have those in the future.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Logan. Can you hear me?
Ah, yes. There you go. Go ahead, Logan. Can you? Logan, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry about that. So outside the retail service area, inside the UGA, have a project working on a short plat subdivision. Because the need is great for housing. I think we all understand that. And the need is now. Glad this conversation's happening. One of the questions I have is, you guys calculate, being a builder, developer, and being kind of familiar with how growth seems to happen in long-range planning, we can never hit max density when we do development. We just can't. With the setbacks, the regulations, it's pretty much impossible now. So if it's 5 to 8 units per acre, we can never hit that. Also, when we have a lot of one-acre infill lots like Carlsberg has, those lots being developed down to their max density of like 8 houses per acre or 5 houses per acre isn't financially feasible, because each one of those lots doesn't dollar-cost average enough to ever be developed. They'll stay single-family on a nice one-acre lot. It'll be a nice house. So is any of that taken into consideration when the calcs are done for max water usage? Because I think there's a lot of capacity that's going to remain untapped for 50 for infinity, actually, because of those homes and the way they're set up and the way they're developed, and just the development regulations now don't allow max density to almost ever be hit in any scenario. And so that's kind of my question. Also, just, we do have a shovel ready project. We just need water, and we could add homes, service connections, and provide workforce housing, which is desperately needed. That's my comment.
Thank you. I got to point out here, zoning, population density, that's all functions of the county. We provide utilities, we provide services. We can only do that if we can obtain water rights. So a lot of these questions probably should go to the county. But
I think his question was, you know, using the county's existing zoning, are we maximizing our, you know, when we calc it, are we using the county's the worst case scenario provided by the county for our calculations? And I think for the most part, the answer is yes, I believe. You know, most of our calculations all sort of take on a maximum density.
But you can have industrial uses come in that, you know, in the same amount of space as we've heard, and use a heck of a lot more water than, you know, having single houses. So, you know, speculating on how much water a particular area will use in the future, you know, that's throwing a dart at a dartboard. You know, you don't know what the density is going to be. You don't know the makeup between residential and commercial. So, I mean, I think I would rather assume that you're going to use more than you might use than the other way around, and find yourself scrambling trying to find additional water rights. When I think water rights are only going to become harder and harder to get in the future.
Yeah.
I think Logan might have a follow-up question that I see. We do have two written questions we also have not got to yet, so maybe if we can take Logan's follow-up and then we can go to these written ones.
Hi, did anyone? Yes. Hey, so I think, Travis, you just mentioned that usually max residential uses use way more than commercial uses. That's been your experience, is that correct?
Well, I'm not, I mean, there's both ways, but a lot of times when we calculate an area, where I think we're typically relying on the max residential zoning for an acre, and Tom or Bowen can correct me if I'm incorrect, but I believe most of our planning has utilized the maximum residential zoning for calculations.
And how much, I'll be quick, how much of your current water of the 23% the PUD is using, how much is that being dedicated to residential and how much is being dedicated to commercial?
Off the top of my head, I don't know, but I'd be happy to get that for you.
All right. Hey, thank you.
So under the Dungeness water plan, they based that on what, 160 gallons per day per household?
We're basing on 175, yeah.
Okay, that's nice. Okay. They originally talked about 160. Okay.
So we have a couple of, looks like, written questions. The wholesale building business property owner, how does this impact me or my business property? Will there be financial implications? Will we no longer have drinking water for our employees? So if you are a property owner and you wanted to develop your property for a different use in the future, if you're already in the UGA, what we're talking about is whether or not we take some of the existing water rights we've gotten reserved that could be used for, you know, folks within the existing retail service area and use them elsewhere. I guess the risk on a long enough time frame if we did not get new water rights would be that if you wanted to change the use of your property and needed additional water meters or wanted to subdivide, would there be water available for that? At this point in time, there's not necessarily financial implications to existing ratepayers necessarily. We're looking to bring on a new source of supply and more customers that will kind of assist with, payment of these projects. But these projects are already planned, and taken into account for our rate studies and our cost of service study take into account a lot of these projects already. Will we no longer have drinking water for our employees? The district's primary goal is to provide safe drinking water. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen, that you continue to have drinking water for anybody in the UGA. Then we have another question. There's a question posed by Rick. I don't know if we have polls enabled on this particular webinar, but I think maybe this is related to Rick, your question of how many folks.
Yeah, TJ, do you have any thoughts? Speak up.
TJ, if you want to raise your hand, we could probably unmute you if you want to make a comment. I think this is kind of the first step, though. I mean, that's kind of the goal of this particular meeting is to get more community engagement, more feedback, and so hopefully we can have more of this as well.
So while we're waiting,
TJ, can you hear us?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so the question I just really was just, I think it was Rich that asked the question. Is this the best approach, et cetera, et cetera? There was no way for us to respond. That was just my comment, was could we turn on the chat or something so we can respond to that question.
I don't know if we can enable the chat on the fly. We've only got 12 attendees currently, so it might be something where maybe we should start putting together a more of a formal poll to send out, or I don't know if the commissioners have ideas on how they want to receive more comment from the public.
This
we could use some more, direct mailings and that sort of thing. Or if you guys have suggestions, we're open to it.
I don't have any on top of my head, but
online poll would be good.
Yeah, online polls on a website. I mean, we can put together however you guys want to do it.
My battery's dead on my mic, so I'll have to yell. Let's see if we can put something together so people can ask questions and we can respond to them and feed that information back to the commission so we know what the public's interests are. So.
There's a question.
Ron Gillett, professor of real estate. Several questions I want to respond. You guys asked about releasing some of those water rights. I think that definitely needs to happen. Danny Swinford Jr., their family's got the Heathport property. They're trying to do something with water, and either they've got to put in their own system or get it from you guys. Logan, they've bought property. They're trying to develop workforce housing. So I think you got to start releasing some of that water rights now to be used in conjunction with the project I'm working on with Gary Lang and Marty on the Van Lan Estates. And that's my next question is, where's that at? I mean, we're, you know, we got the email from Tom that the comments came on from the tribe, and they're pushing back saying, use up your water rights and come back in 20 years. Well, Gary and Marty don't have 20 years, right? That you know, they've got their own water rights sitting there that's 10 years senior to the PUDs, and it's 9.1 acre feet per year, very small water right to get their plat up and running. So I'm looking for some feedback, you know, for Gary and Marty. Where's that project in conjunction to the purchase and sale agreement that's, you know, responsibility of PUD to develop the well site and infrastructure there for the pump house. So I realize that mitigation has been submitted to ecology, but do you have an update for us on that? And we've already 5 years into this project. That's not what they had in mind when they agreed to work with the county and put up Lot 8 to be tied up and not be able to sell their land. So do we have any feedback here from you guys on where that's at?
Do we have any information on those projects?
I don't believe we've gotten anything back from ecology on the mitigation plan directly, unless I'm incorrect in that, Tom.
The ecology is written, so come and let us. And they expressed their interest in preventing the proliferation of exogenous things that were, you know, part of the watershed plan that water system. So they reiterated that interest again in the context of, well, you've only used 20% of the existing water rate. And that was policy about not wanting to expand before we get the water. So there's kind of a that's the conflict that we have to deal with here. And so we have got four bids filed down. Well, Van Lan Lot 8 of their development, which is just 27 houses.
Yeah.
And so their purchase salary that we have to them. Okay. You get your water right, you bring it to us. But, you know, we have this mitigation plan. Sure. We can both use the same mitigation. Well, now ecology is like, we're giving them draft mitigation plans, and the last time we presented to them was March of this year, and then they got back to us and said, well, we want to discuss this with the broader group of stakeholders in the area. So we had a meeting in June, presented the plan. Just been getting comments back recently from J-Tex Cloud Tribe, and they don't think the plan should go forward as we consultant has proposed. And so they are suggesting the J-Tex Cloud Tribe to have a technical work group to work through the issues the tribe has. And so that's going to take some more time. So this was, of course, not anticipated by the county. We made the purchase and sale agreement Jared Lang. And,
you know,
yeah, so.
Go ahead. So with that, regard to that, I mean.
Just say one thing. Ecology considers growth and housing shortage and all that, but that's not their governing concern. Their governing concern, and the point of all these borrower processes, these like the prejudice river rule is in-stream flow. They want to maintain in-stream flow at a certain level. And, you know, we've even questioned that. That's based on computer modeling and so on. And it's basically about fish. And so they're totally inflexible on that. So I think that's the hang-up in ecology, is that they are looking at the Dungeness River rule, the in-stream flow, and everything, even wells. There's connectivity between wells and in-stream flow, so they're concerned about that. So.
Well, that was the point of the county drilling a 917-foot well, is that you're in a got less impact at 917 feet than you do a 200-foot well. So I think it's time to push back here on them. But I guess if you guys are going to be struggling with getting your water right issued, is there a way to work to develop that site and get Gary and
all these housing projects? You said I think you had 9 acre feet or something.
Yeah, there.
A couple loads that from ours. Would that be possible? Well, I thought that they had thrown theirs in with ours.
Oh.
And so can we decouple it so that they can move forward with their project?
And your project and ours are kind of intertwined. Their project relies on that same new source of supply. It's located on their project, basically, the new.
I mean, in other words, can we just request initially just to serve their housing project until we get the rest of it resolved? I mean, I don't know if that's possible, but.
Well, I think what's possible, I think what Ron is asking for is similar to what the county's asking.
All right.
How about get on the water rate so you can get things moving here? Mm-hmm. And so we're not asking for, you know, small 100%. They're county's asking for a well, probably approximately 200 connections. And then now Ron is speaking to those several areas outside of the UGA that kind of makes sense. It would be easy for us to serve it.
Yeah. Outside of the UGA.
Yeah. So,
well, back to your comment about the Forbes aquifer. If you read the Jamestown response, they're questioning whether or not even the fourth aquifer doesn't impact in-stream flow. And they're calling for more study on that. So.
Yeah, I saw the comments there that Tom forwarded back to us.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I guess the concern is it's dragging on. We're into 5 years now. We started in 2017 with Tom and the county, and I don't know.
Where's the longest period we've waited for water rights from ecology?
Well, this is the longest I've ever. We filed in 2006.
Yeah, 2006.
Right. So, you know, we're getting up to that 20-year planning horizon. You got back to that.
Yeah, and Gary and Marty filed in January 26, 1996. So, I mean, and they only had 27 lots there. So,
yeah.
It's not a lot of water, but somehow we've got to see this get developed enough for that plat to be up and be able to be sold.
Right. You know, our hands are tied, though. We're not the ones who approve it or don't approve it. It's ecology.
Well, but I think if you've got water rights you're sitting on that you're not using, I mean, and you've got an agreement that you put together.
Have responsibility, you know, to the people that we're supposed to be serving, and as my understanding is, this is outside of that area.
So how many people here live within the LUD or the, what are you calling it now?
The retail service.
Okay, all right, good.
So you live in the retail service area.
Yeah, the yellow.
Do we have the map back up?
Can you click my PowerPoint in there?
So I'd like to hear what you folks think about the full build-out water right, expanding that to the full UGA. So what's your opinion on that?
You're asking who's swimming in the red stripe?
Yellow.
The yellow.
It's in the yellow.
Yeah. Okay.
So what people are asking us to do is to give away, right now we have enough water rights to serve the area in yellow with very high density. Okay? Clearly, it's not high density, so we have a lot of headroom. And there's pressure being put on saying, use some of those water rights in areas outside the LUDs. And what we're asking for is, do you have an opinion? Do you want to suspend the water rights from the LUD in areas outside the LUD? If you live in the LUD, I would think you would have an opinion about that.
Well, you know, the idea of that it's not really attractive as far as big screen builds in this area. Talks about outside the build area, then it seems like it's
But once again, we don't approve, what gets built where.
Right.
Our job is just to serve water to whoever requests us to. And we've been very, very conservative in holding the water back in case there is growth. And now there's folks asking us to release that water. Now, will the area grow in density that we would need all that water? I don't know. I mean, it probably won't happen in my lifetime or any of our lifetimes. But getting water rights in the future is going to become harder and harder. You give them away now with the promise that you may get them back, like Wimpy on the paying for the hamburger.
I apologize.
at the end of the day, we represent our ratepayers. We represent you guys. We try to make decisions that are the best for the PUD and going forward. Yes, we support growth. I mean, growth is good because you're able to spread the infrastructure cost over more customers. But sitting up here, we also have a responsibility to think about what is the right thing to do for the people that are not speaking. And historically we've been very conservative. And, now we're at a point where that conservatism is potentially stifling growth. So, how do you weigh those two things? How do you weigh, ensuring there's enough water for everybody in the future to making sure that there are jobs and places for people to live right now? I mean, it's a trade-off, and that's...
Yeah, well, and also you throw in there the fact that the number 10 valve is going to be totally polluted.
Nitrogen.
Yeah, nitrogen.
Nitrogen. Good term.
No, but we'll take care of that.
Yeah, we've got a solution.
Yeah, that will not. We'll either blend it or we'll move to a different well. But we.
Okay, so at what point do you say that more growth and there's more demand, there's more pollution? It just feeds back into itself.
You bet. A lot of people equate the economy to a shark. A shark has to continue to move forward to live. And they say economies are like that, too, that if they don't continue to grow, they stagnate. So, I mean, life is full of conundrums and trade-offs, and I think that that's where we are now with how do we spend the water, how do we be good stewards for the future, and how do we continue to stimulate the economy, and any input would be welcome.
So, just putting this another way, if I lived in LUV and I had, under the new high-density housing rules, I had more land area than I could use, and I wanted to develop that. That development is going to depend on having water to do that. So maybe none of you are in that boat, but, you know, that would be a concern for me if and I don't own any property in the LUD. But.
Can I just make a, I mean, what, you know, your future water is dependent on the well that's drilled on their lot 8 that's still owned by them because this agreement hasn't been finalized because it hasn't been fully performed. So, you know, we're just asking for some consideration to make some flexibility to allow them to get their water right if you're going to be tied up for 20 years, for goodness sakes. There's got to be some flexibility here in this whole thing.
But we've expanded for it.
That's all we're asking for, is to look into that possibility because your future is dependent on that well.
But we have done this before, so, you know, we need to consider that.
And one of the things, there's not necessarily a slide up here, but something that's going to be up for probably future discussion is if the PUD is going to entertain some sort of a change in its policy, you know, we're kind of talking about it almost like it's absolutes, right? It's we're serving an area and then there's this whole other area that we've got to account for. The reality is there's probably going to be a lot more discussions with the county on how we would phase some sort of an expansion like that or use of that, because the district obviously wants to be conservative with its resources, and I don't see that necessarily changing. So I think the question isn't necessarily, you know, should we be conservative with the resources we have, but how conservative do we need to be with the resources we have? So that's probably a future discussion, but
you know, maybe you just hit on a possible solution, some kind of phased build out so that we can serve as these things occur.
Sure.
Rather than just changing the policy
right, and
releasing all of our water reserves, we could do it on a case by case basis.
Or expansion.
And that's what Ron is asking for. So. Good. Do you have other questions, sir? Lisa, go ahead.
Can you hear me, folks?
Yes.
Terrific. I have one other comment, and that is, I guess, and it relates potentially to the fade-in concept. But I know you're absolutely have a duty to your stakeholders right now. But I think PUD has also made some commitments to the urban growth area concept in your capital facilities plans that you've had in the last 20 years and talking about providing service to the urban growth area. And so although we're outside the LUD right now, some of us, we're, I think, in that commitment. And I hope that if we do start, you do start adding service, that you'll maybe start within that area that you've been working so hard on with the county already and with DOE, and then move outside the area as things grow from there.
So what you mentioned, you own property there and you would like to develop it, but how much property is that?
It's 40. We have 40 acres. And if you looked back at that map, the red, there was, it's on both sides of Matriati Creek. It's right within the heart of the urban growth area. And I can just tell you as an anecdote is that we have had quite a bit of interest in the property over 20 years, but always had to reveal to the potential people that were interested, well, we don't have any access to public water. And so, we were, you know, unable to move forward. And I guess if we had been developers, we probably would have been putting the application in, but we just thought the answer was no because there it wasn't available.
Thank you. Was there questions?
Good evening. My name is Steve Gray. I work for the Cobb County Public Works Department, and I'd first like to say thank you for the commissioners for having this meeting tonight. I know this is an outcome from the joint meeting you had with the County Board of Commissioners. I'd also like to thank Tom and Travis for their work with our department on the Memorandum of Understanding that the county's adopted that's now before the PUD. I have some comments, but I've also heard some questions kind of from the commissioners here directed to the county I'd like to speak to, one of them being, why is the county so focused on the urban growth area? Well, first, as you know, 70% of the urban growth area is already in the district's retail service area. But the urban growth area is a requirement under the Growth Management Act, and is the Carlsberg Urban Growth Area is one of six in the county. And the reason we established this urban growth area, we have a pattern of urban density. We got industrial park, we got commercial, we have high density residential. There is a suite of existing public services already there, including PUD public water. But there's also other Group A water systems in the urban growth area. We have a fire station, we have a school, we have a highway going through it. So it has all the ingredients of an urban growth area. It's not a city, it's not incorporated, it's an unincorporated urban growth area. And it's important for the county to plan for services in that boundary. And that's what the comprehensive plan does. And we've been working with our partnership with the PUD to help you acquire that water right. And I think that's important to be able to expand that to the rest of the urban growth area so we can have more opportunities for growth. I mean, there's people that might not want to see more growth, but growth is going to come. We can't stop the growth. It has to go somewhere. And that's why we've established urban growth areas as a priority for that. And that will also help where you have higher densities. There's more opportunities for affordable housing. And, of course, there's still potential, even in that 30%, for business growth, which is going to create jobs. So that's why it's a priority. And also a requirement of the Growth Management Act. And the PUD also plays a role in that because your water system plans are supposed to be consistent with the local government's comprehensive land use plans. And that's why you have the urban growth there as part of your planned service area. So I think that's why it's important. The county also has an interest. The folks that are in your current retail service area are county residents, county business owners, and we share the concern of clean water. And that's clear that we represented it in the MOU. And the county is just not sending folks like me to these meetings. We're putting real resources into trying to acquire this water right and solving these problems with the PUD, including investment in drilling that new well. That was over $350,000 to drill that well. Paying for consultant services, another $300,000 in multiple years of county staff resources, including experts like our hydrogeologists. Our calculations to date, particularly since we rolled up the sleeves with the PUD in 2017, is upwards of $1 million. So there's a serious skin in the game by the county to move this forward. And I would like to emphasize, because I know this meeting is really to get input from your current customers, that investment, although we're all county taxpayers and it comes from public dollars, was no additional charge to your PUD customers for that investment to help move forward with getting this water right and for helping address the water quality issue. Now, when we drilled that well, we weren't necessarily thinking back then it also might be a solution for water quality, but it is a key part of the PUD strategy as it stands right now to utilize that well that the county drilled to blend the water to have clean water. And so we certainly support that. I would say, Travis, could you put that, because I want to just make my point, your slide with the pros for this system that the PUD staff came up with for expansion. So the county, Public Works Department of the county would fully support that these are all good comments for you to consider for expanding as we continue to work to get you the water right. And that last one, I think, would be the most important to your customers, in that new connections equal capital and operational revenue. Sharing that, spreading that cost for the operations, sharing that cost for maintenance, and sharing that cost for future infrastructure improvements, such as the blending system. Going to be cheaper for the customers if more people are paying for that. As the PUD knows, but I'm not sure if all the customers know, the water right you apply for in terms of lease, how it was issued by Ecology, is for a much larger or potentially much larger service area than your retail service area, and it includes the entire urban growth area. Now, when that was applied for, one of the comments from PUD, 15 square mile service area, clearly it's not timely and reasonable, nor is there enough water right to serve a 15 square mile service area. And part of what the MOU between the county and the PUD interest is to send a message of how to better plan to use that water right. I would point out you've had a couple of potential developers, owners that are in the urban growth area, but outside the service area. I mean, there was a mention of a lift. Tom has received calls about people wanting customers in and out, and certainly our department, our estimate, and talking to Carol Creasy, our hydrogeologist, geologist over the last year, probably upwards of 200 to 500 potential when they develop and all the houses are built, potential ERUs. And it's clear that developers in that 30% are willing and wanting to expand an infrastructure. And what it also makes sense is timely and reasonable. Those red areas, the 30%, for the most part, are very close to existing infrastructure. So it would be much easier to extend that infrastructure to those areas in a more cost-effective manner, and developers are going to be able to afford, particularly if they're going to be built at that higher densities, to connect. And so I think that gets back to that last bullet, more connections, more revenue, more people sharing the cost, everybody wins. I can certainly appreciate, and Public Works and the county appreciates, the fact that it's hard to get water rights. But one thing I'd like to point, and I know you know this, is their water right was approved in 1992. We're in 2022. That's 30 years. Approximately 20% of water rights have been used. I don't know the number, but a fairly significant percentage of that is by the Olympic streams. So the point being that the county's hearing and trying to help you get your water right, where Ecology's saying you need to, I mean, these are waters of the state, and you need to put that water to beneficial use. We think, the technical issues addressing the tribe on their hydrogeologic comments, I think those are issues that will need to be worked through, but I think they can be worked through. But the fact that the PUD, and I can appreciate again, and the county can appreciate the policy, is not in that water to beneficial use, it's probably going to impact the ability of the PUD to get a water right. I mean, that's how we see it. And we certainly like to continue to how we can address that. So we think expanding that system to serve more areas is the way to go to help you get that water right, to have the county help you get that water right. So we would certainly encourage to join the county commissioners and adopt the MOU that the county commissioners already signed and is supported and recommended by your staff. We would also encourage the commissioners to strongly consider to expand water availability to the remaining 30% under the existing water right. We think that will promote continued county PUD collaboration that the county believes will benefit both current and future PUD customers by adding additional customers to pay for water system operation, maintenance, and future need and improvements. We think that collaboration and moving forward will also benefit addressing the water quality issues to improve. To ensure clean water into the future, and we do strongly believe that doing both those things will help the PUD ultimately secure that additional water right. That water right, again, what the county is committing to is for the UGA, because of everything I said earlier, right, as a priority. And the MOU, we certainly, the county signed the Dungeness Watershed Plan and the policies that went into that with the tribes, and encouraging less involved is always a good thing, and we can certainly continue to work with the PUD to support that. But the water right that's being before each other for that priority area, all those areas in your LUD aren't for high density. If you're outside the urban growth area, it's low density zoning. So the high density is within the urban growth area. So I kind of leave it at that. I appreciate allowing me more than 3 minutes, and I'm just happy to answer any questions at any point. Thank you.
Thank you. It's very good.
So we have a couple of related questions, I think, and we'll try to answer these and then maybe move to our final segment, which is very brief on the MOU. We've had a couple comments regarding should the UGA be given priority before folks outside the UGA with regard to water system expansion. As Lisa said earlier, the urban growth area is identified in our water system plan already as a future service area. It's identified as an area we're not serving now, but we intend to in the future. Because of that, folks who are in the UGA, if we start using existing water rights, will be in a position to access that sooner. You know, if we intend to serve other areas that are outside our existing retail service area and outside the UGA, before we could really contemplate expansion to those areas, we'd also have to go to the Department of Health, revise our water system plan, and there's some other, you know, calculations that have to go with that. So I guess to sort of answer the question posed to would the UGA be given priority, the UGA already is in our water system plan for an area we intend to serve. So if we expand our retail service area to the UGA, or if we start using water rights to serve the UGA, they would be in a position to utilize those first, not necessarily because of our prioritization, but just because they're already in our water system plan. So, if we don't have any other,
well, Dave Swinford. I represent the Heathmore Development.
I can't hear you.
My name is Dave Swinford. I represent the Heathmore ownership at Heathmore, which is just outside of the Carlsberg UGA. I really need to understand, I think, maybe this point, because it sounds like, I guess if you do agree to this, then it's all the people inside the UGA that would be obtained, say, a right. I'm asking because I kind of like to get service.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's kind of an unknown. I mean, that would have to be something we'd have to make a policy change and figure out how we're going to do it. I guess the point I was making is that for folks like you who are right on the outside, there would be a small amount of additional work on our part to get that area authorized by Department of Health, included in our water system plan, before we could offer service. It's not necessarily a barrier to service if we were using our existing water rights. It's just an additional step. That we would have to go through.
So, like, if there's a decision to go ahead and release some of these things, I mean, I'd like to get some of it, but it doesn't sound like it would be an extended delay for me to be able to do that if that decision is made.
It would be a change in policy, so it would just depend on how we go about that change in policy.
Well, it also depends upon ecology.
Well,
just because we changed our policy.
Well, if we changed our policy to use our existing water rights, ecology doesn't need to be involved at all. So, it's more of if we were to do that, how would we implement that change in policy?
Yeah, this is a work session, so we're not taking any action, but we're making a commitment. So, and we need to talk about this.
And I'm somebody else who would like to kind of get this. I do have like an option. I'm already down the path of getting a private water system in there. And actually, I'd like to, if this is going to happen, I'd hopefully have happened soon enough so I can make a decision. I mean, I have maybe another route to go, but I think mostly beneficial to me and to the community to get the PUD water versus sticking in a private system. And it would be nice to kind of figure out what my option is sooner rather than later.
Okay, well, good. May I just speak to ecology's interests here?
Ecology.
Well, it's because I've got written comments from them, so I can speak about their comments. And this directly applies to Mr. Swinford here and Mr. Lang, the development where we drill the well, and the Swim Valley Airport. All those three entities are looking for water. They're outside of the UGA.
right? Ecology has said, we want you to serve a much larger region. And our original intent when we applied for the water right was this really large 15 square mile region that went all the way out to Woodcock Road. Well, that's not feasible. You know, who's going to pay for a main extension going out that far? But there are developers and planned developments that are right next to our UGA that would take a 100-foot at most main extension. It makes a whole lot of sense. And ecology wants us to expand 15 square miles. The county is really interested in just the UGA. And we're interested in, well, how much mitigation can we get to expand as far as we possibly can and not go beyond that, live within the means of whatever mitigation we can generate, right? So that's what this in the MOU, this region, was all about, outside of the UGA. And if we used our existing water right as much as we possibly can to its fullest extent and then shift the production over to this deep well, we would have enough mitigation based on our existing mitigation plan to serve the full build-out of the UGA and more, right? But only maybe within a half a mile of our existing distribution system. So
assuming that we can use the new well.
Yeah, use the new well and get as much mitigation as I think we should get from our plan. But so really, we don't have to prioritize if our mitigation plan goes through. We will have enough mitigation for all the build out in our LED and the UGA and in this, you know, small area around, or, you know, this region of a half mile.
And mitigation plan has to be approved by us all.
Yes, that's the key.
All roads lead back to ecology.
Exactly. But ecology wants us to expand as much as possible. Yeah. So they would certainly support us serving Mr. Swinford, Mr. Lang, and the airport.
Okay. Other questions, comments?
I know we're running a little bit behind schedule, so if anybody has comments, we have a very brief couple slides on what the MOU is.
Okay. Why don't you move on to those?
So the memorandum of understanding, which Steve talked about earlier, has been signed by the Clallam County Commissioners already. Basically, it's a list of interests the PUD has, a list of interests the county has, a list of interests that we share that are mutual interests, and then also kind of a list of shared goals that we want to achieve. It is sort of the first step towards working with the county on any future agreements. This is a non-binding agreement. It's sort of just a layout of the things they want and the things I want, the things the PUD wants and our commonality. And so this will be on the docket for the PUD commissioners meeting on October 24th. It's been before the board before, but they really wanted feedback from the public. So that's part of the reason we're here today too, which I think is great. We want more public engagement and more feedback before we are committing to sign something. This is not necessarily this isn't at all a commitment to expand our water system at this point in time. It is also not identifying a method that we would potentially do that. It's simply sort of a first step towards working on future arrangements with the county. Some of the highlights from the shared goals. Number one, we want to provide safe drinking water to all the customers that we have now and all future customers. If we don't have safe drinking water, we don't really have any drinking water. So that's the primary shared goal held by the PUD, held by the county. And I think everybody can agree with that. Shared goals between the county and the PUD include at some point being able to expand the retail service area to the unserved areas of the Carlsberg region that we're not serving now. Again, this document doesn't say when we'll do that, how we'll do that. It's mainly just saying that that's a shared goal. We want to appropriate and develop water for the build-out of the UGA, which the county is following through on their commitment in their ILA to get those water rights for us. We also want to reduce impacts to streams like the Dungeness River. for any new water that we get. The district's interests obviously are to provide safe drinking water. You'll hear me say that a lot because that's the number one interest everybody has is safe drinking water. We want to make sure we have water available for the folks in our existing service area. That's obviously, as the commissioners have spoken to today, an interest we all share. We want to make sure when our existing landowners in the existing area ask for water, we have it to give them. District is interested in expanding the retail service area to a broader region, as we said on the previous slide. And then also we do need to generate additional revenue for operations and maintenance. That's in the interest of everybody, for going forward. Mutual interest identified in the MOU, again, provide safe drinking water. That's on pretty much every slide here. We want to get our water right application mitigation plan approved. We want to develop partnerships with the tribe, with the water exchange, with the Dungeness River Management Team, with property owners who live in the Carlsberg area. We all have a mutual interest in making sure everybody's to the table and everybody can kind of agree on a solution to go forward. And then we also want to plan for serving the water needs of the full build-out of the area. How do we get there at some point in time? So that's kind of the quick Cliff Notes version of what the MOU is. Again, it doesn't really say how we're going to do any of that, but that we want to move forward on identifying possible solutions and that the county and the PD are going to continue to work together to come up with solutions for the area. And so with that, I guess I would open it up to
let me just say one thing.
Go ahead.
This MOU was put before us, and it is non-binding. It looks pretty harmless. I didn't disagree with anything in it, but the missing element was we had not presented this to the public. So that's the reason we're doing this tonight, is to put it before the public and get feedback. I'm sorry there wasn't more participation, but oh well. Yes.
Well, I think part of that problem is these postcards came out.
Yeah.
There's no topic of what the discussion is.
Really?
There was and it said that you could go on to the news section, which I did to look, and I looked up what is this agreement. It was not there. There was no information. There was no way to get mentioned. They're just simple rules.
There should be. There's a link to the memo on the news item there. There should be a link at the bottom. Okay.
Yeah.
Would it be beneficial also, for future meetings going forward, we could probably look at maybe some additional email engagement and things like that. I don't know how many of you have your email address on file with your PD account. We'd have to have your email address to send you an email, obviously. But that might be something going forward. We could maybe provide some additional info and attachments to emails and things like that if that's maybe a better way to communicate. Or if anybody has thoughts, yeah, we're open to providing more information however we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it does say to discuss the memo of understanding of Carlsberg water rights on there, does it not?
So I went to my own community.net and looked up the memo of understanding, typed it in the search engine, went down through all the stuff, looked at everything that had the girls wanted on it, but finally they dismissed it.
Okay. It should be right in the news item, but I'll check on when that got posted to, and that's good feedback for us. So we'll make sure we can maybe make it more prominent.
Yeah, let's check on that and maybe do a follow up.
We'll do better.
Yeah, we'll do better. That's right. The check is in the mail.
I'll be glad to make
it. Looks like we have one more comment remotely.
All right, this will be the last one.
Thank you. This is Dale Kim again from AM Systems in Carlsbad. This public meeting has been really enlightening. I didn't realize that there was such a rivalry between the county and the PUD. I always assumed that the interests of the county and the PUD.
Yeah, hold on there. I'm going to have to challenge that. There's no rivalry between the county and the PUD.
Converged. Listening to you guys' comments, the commissioners, and Mr. Steve Gray. So I appreciate the political sensitivity, and I respectfully disagree with Commissioner Persa's comment that my question should have been directed to the county. And here is why. If the PUD is concerned about the depletion, the potential depletion of existing water rights, then the PUD should have made that information public early on when, as Travis mentioned, okay, two apartment complexes could use way more water than a small commercial project. But the PUD sat on this information, and PUD isn't concerned. I mean, let's assume that the transfer station is a small apartment complex, which, as Travis says, let's assume that they use way more water. And that's being built within a year. So this small apartment complex will use more water than a small commercial project. So if you're concerned about the water rights being depleted, does the PUD and the Carlsbad UGA have enough water to supply a small apartment complex tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I'm not. I made a number of statements there that I'm going to have to try to counter. We've been talking about this for years. Nobody's sat on anything. We brought this out in public meetings and discussed it. We discussed it with the county. Our water department, Tom and Travis, have been working with the county staff on this. This has been a goodwill effort by everyone. So, okay. Any other thing you got it, Travis? Okay. Well, with that, I guess we'll adjourn.
No, we have action.
Oh, excuse me. We're not going to take any action.
We have.
I know.
Typically, there will be board actions for staff that are action items that. So the first one is staff to provide Logan with a percentage of what water supply calculations are designated for residential versus industrial.
Which ones are currently being used as residential versus used as commercial? Yep. Yep.
The other one is consider developing and administering a formal poll to identify property owners and developers going within. Not apply as a UGA in order to developing and or ready to develop property. To consider developing a phase and build out plan based on the above. To continue to work with ecology to obtain approval on a district's proposed mitigation plan, which is projected to address most of the stakeholders' interests, and to provide clear communication and education to the LLC.
Sounds good. We did.
Too mad. One thing.
Is a success.
So this is Bowen Kendrick, the superintendent of the water department. I saw that you answered a question someone was asking if we were going to post this online, and I saw that you responded we would.
Yes, we did. We did post the audio recording, which should be online tomorrow, probably before noon, and just a minute. board meeting on October 24th, will also be posted on the internet of the website. And that's LQD/meetings.
Okay, thank you, G. All right, with that, we're adjourned. Thank you. Always like to use this. Not yet.